assist the Paul McGuire report on Paul McGuire. We are in a countdown to certain events happening here in the United States and across the world. We are literally in a countdown period because there are unresolved situations of national importance and of international importance, things that have not yet been resolved that are, to put it another way, they're simmering on the back pans of a frying pan, and they're about to burn. And I don't want to sound sensationalistic. That's not my intention. My intention is not to be sensationalistic. But my intention is to be objective and strategic. When we realize, by using our God-given intellects, brain that we have, the information that we have, the information that we gather, and we process that information, if we just simply exercise our minds and intelligence, and we review the situations that are playing out all around us, and many of these situations which are playing out all around us are being completely censored by the mainstream media. The mainstream media has degraded in the United States over the last 10 or 20 years. The degradation of the truth content in the mainstream media is abysmal. In the last 3 years or 4 years, the truth content in the mainstream media has deteriorated to such an extent that it has almost become some kind of bad comedy movie. It would be funny if it wasn't tragic, because the men and women who have been charged with the responsibility of functioning as journalists no longer even remotely try to be journalists. They pander, they lie, they misrepresent the facts, and we no longer have access to truth in America and most nations around the world, except for what is called alternative media. And alternative media are media like this, the Paul McGuire Report and others, which we broadcast and operate on platforms that can be heard and watched all around the world. But we're always in a battle against the spiritual darkness. We're always in conflict with the powers of darkness. And I won't get into the way that plays out, but we are on the front lines of the battlefield for truth. Because there is a battle. There's a raging spiritual battle going on right now. And if you talk to somebody who claims to be a Christian, or if you talk to anybody, and they're not aware of the fact that there is a raging spiritual battle between the powers of darkness and the power of the light and truth, then that person, there's a reason why that person can't perceive the obvious. And that reason is they have allowed themselves, whether they realize it or not, to become co-opted, to be marginalized. They have been conquered in the spiritual battle. Because the spiritual battle, the way it works, is first there's the microcosm of the battle. That's the up close, looking through a microscope, let's say, at the problem. So there's the microcosm component of the spiritual battle. And that deals with us as individuals and people, our families, people we know, and what's going on inside our hearts and minds. And that, again, is why I wrote my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, because that's a look at that internal battle that is raging inside people. And it's a battle between very, very powerful forces of spiritual deception, and that is at war with the forces of the truth of God's word, and what Jesus Christ really meant when he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." You see, if you claim to be a moral human being, if you claim to be somebody that has a conscience, if you claim to be somebody who wants to do the right thing, if you claim to be a Christian, and if you claim to love God, then you are compelled by your conscience. You are compelled by the still small voice of God in your inner man or woman. That inner voice, you are compelled by that inner voice that provokes your conscience, that wakes you up in the middle of the night and warns you and pleads with you and guides you and tells you what to do. Now you see, if you have become one of those individuals who has, perhaps without realizing, it happened incrementally, but somehow you began to give yourself over piece by piece. You gave yourself over to the lies of powerful spiritual deception. And these lies are our ideas and thought forms. And when they take control of the human personality, because they are energized by demonic forces, oh, I'm not saying that all these people are demon-possessed. I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that Christians can become demon-possessed. I'm not saying that. However, Christians can be, and the theological term for this is demonized. So from a theological perspective, I believe the Bible teaches that God's people can be oppressed and deceived from the outside, externally. But because if a man or a woman is truly born again, and they have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living inside of them, then they can't be possessed by a demon. So the oppression by the powers of darkness from the outside is called demonization. And we have rampant, widespread demonization among Christians in America right now at an unprecedented rate. And the reason for the explosive resurgence of demonization is a number of key components. Number one, the majority of God's people have distanced themselves and have stopped exposing themselves to the truths of God's word. And they're not renewing their minds with God's word. They're not tuning in to programs like the Paul McGuire Report and others which are teaching the truth. And when you incrementally start walking away from the truth and you start to, again, probably don't realize it, but you start to fall into the ways of the world system. And the ways of the world system are embedded in the mainstream media and entertainment and culture and so on and so forth. And I'm not talking about the things that are necessarily egregious, in-your-face examples of giving yourself over to the world system. I'm talking about what the Bible's talking about. And this is where we really have to come to terms with the truth. Because if we do come to terms with the truth, history tells us that the truth will come to terms with us as individuals, as a culture, and as a people. And for those that may not understand what I'm talking about, when God finally takes his hand off a nation, off a person, off a people, because he's reached out to them over and over again, and they ignore him, or they turn from him, and they continue to increase in all kinds of sinful activities. What will happen eventually, according to the scriptural model in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is that at a certain point, God says, that's it, you've crossed over the line, and he releases his judgment on a nation. And that can be extremely severe, and that should frighten you. And it's a good thing to be frightened in the proper sense. You know, there are people who would love to twist my words, what I just said, especially Christians. They would love to twist my words when I just said to you, it's a good thing to be frightened. Because the Bible teaches that. Now, if you take it out of context, it sounds like pathological. It sounds like the ramblings of a religious psychopath. You know, the media loves to invent these fabricated character portraits of so-called Christians who function as psychopaths. Well, let me tell you something, and I think you've probably found this to be the truth. I meet Christians all the time. Many of them are not perfect people. Neither am I, neither are you. But the majority of Christians I meet are far from psychopaths. They're usually, despite the fact that they have faults, they are usually among the kindest and the most giving people that you will encounter. So this media drummed up lie of the image of the Christian psychopath or sociopath, it's a lie. Because the truth is, the Bible teaches us that it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. So what God is saying in his word, for our benefit, because God is love, he's not trying to convey to us a message that we should be irrationally paranoid about God, that we should be fearful and terrified and shaking under our bedsheets about God. That's not what God is trying to communicate. God's trying to communicate what you and I and every man and woman alive really knows deep, deep, deep down inside. What every man and woman knows is that there is an absolute right and an absolute wrong. There is a God. This God is love. He's the biblical God. And so when he tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it's not to instill some kind of artificial paranoia, fear. It's to save us. It's to save us. Those words are being spoken to us by God in order to save us. Save us from our sins so that we might spend all eternity with God in heaven. So that we might enjoy the reward of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And down here on earth, if we have that proper reverential respect for who God is and the authority of God, and who is God? Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's not a matter of debate. That's not true because I said it was true, or you said it was true. The fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings is a fact. It's a fact that's entirely separated from what you believe or what I believe or what anybody believes. It's a truth. And because it's a truth, it's final reality, and it is a fact above and beyond what our puny human fine art opinions might decide. There is a supreme being. In previous generations, Christians would refer to the supreme being with more appropriate words. They would call the biblical God, God Almighty, or Almighty God, God Almighty. The idea was that this biblical God is the only true God, and he's almighty. And because he's almighty, and because we're his creation with a small c, and he's the creator with a capital C, we're his creation. And therefore, the proper response by us is that we should worship our Master, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior. And we should worship the biblical God as the true God. And therefore, because God is omniscient, God is all-knowing, our proper position before God should be one of humility and one of proper, sane, rational, yet at the same time, intrinsically humble worship before the God who is really there, Jesus Christ. You see, how can you be so deceived, especially when you call yourself a born-again Christian? How can you be so deceived as to incrementally digest, incrementally drink the polluted waters of Babylon, the harlot? And as you drink those polluted waters of Babylon, the harlot, the teachings of the Babylonian system that spill through our media and entertainment sectors start to infect you. And very slowly you begin to delude yourself into thinking that there is no God. And then you delude yourself further into thinking that, well, gee, I am God. Every man or woman thinks they are God. And then they throw out God's laws arbitrarily, because the Bible warns that in a day of incredible spiritual deception, every man or woman did what was right in their own eyes. They weren't concerned about doing what was right before the eyes of God or before the eyes of God's word. They were deceived by humanism. And humanism is the deception when a man or a woman believes that he or she is God. And so in that deception, the only thing that concerns you is you start to do what you think is right in your eyes. But you see, it doesn't matter what's right in your eyes, because your eyes are imperfect, because you're imperfect. The reality is, the truth is, that you are and I are fallen creatures. We fell. Adam and Eve activated the law of sin and death and fell. And therefore, we have inherited Satan's sin of pride, Satan's sin of wanting to become God. And so we can't see the situation properly. Our spiritual vision is myopic. It's distorted. So here we are in a momentary interlude. Here we are in the calm before the storm. How many days the calm will last? How many months? What we do know is this calm has to be temporal. It has to be short term. And then the storm will come. Why? Why do I know that? Why can I assert that? Well, I'm not asserting that, and I'm not knowing that because I've conferred upon myself, due to pride, I conferred upon myself some spiritual title which kind of crowns me as a kind of spiritual king, coronates me as some kind of spiritual king. That's pride. When a man or a woman does that, whether they realize it or not, they're entering into the beginning phases of delusion, spiritual delusion. I'm not saying that the storm is coming, because I'm uttering it. I'm uttering that from a deluded inner mind. I'm saying that because I've spent 40 years living, studying the Word of God, researching numerous fields, history, economics, science, culture, theology, on and on. And when you devote a lifetime, when you give your life over to doing what most people don't have, and this is not for the purpose of boasting, but when you give your life over to studying a vast spectrum of divergent information, you pay a price for that. But you do it because you know it's your call from God. Because the ordinary person doesn't have the opportunity or the time to study and research all the divergent sources of information. So somebody has to do that. We live in an age of specialization, which, by the way, is myopic. And for those of you that are not familiar with the term myopic, if you wear glasses like I do, myopic is you can't see well unless you're focused in really close. So, for example, if I'm reading a book, unless I'm wearing reading glasses, I will take my glasses off and put the book closer to my face in order for me to see with my eyes what is tiny lettering, so I can read the tiny lettering. So they call that being nearsighted, and that's being myopic, nearsighted. You can only see without it being blurry if it's close up. But unless you correct the myopic part of the way you're seeing things by wearing reading glasses or some kind of contact lens or having some kind of eye surgery or simply taking off your glasses and putting what you're reading or what you're trying to see up closer to your face, that is a form, as well as the preceding things, that's a form of dealing with the problem of being nearsighted or being myopic. But people could be myopic when it comes to situations and where we are. So right now, a lot of people are focused in on particular things, but because they're so focused in on particular things, they're missing the overall picture, the overall framework. And when you study history, as many of you have, and when you read what has preceded us in time, read historical examples in the Bible, both the Old Testament and New Testament, you see that history plays out in patterns, in identifiable patterns. So right now we have the calm, but because the fractures and the seismic cracks and the economic forces and pressures and things like the coronavirus and the fact that there's a globalist elite manipulating the coronavirus for their hidden agenda and all these other things, and none of it has been resolved yet. And on top of that, forces that are actually coming in to the gates of our cities, into the gates of our lives, dark forces. Yeah, they're dark, man. They're spiritually dark forces. I'm talking about demonic and evil forces of the highest ranking. You see, when a nation, when a culture, when America, when the American Christian Church or whoever deserts God and rejects God when they begin to scoff and mock and laugh and defy the living God, when they have lost what it means to know that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. You see, the fear of the Lord needs to be defined biblically, not emotionally. The biblical definition of having the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, it's a deep, reverent, healthy, sober-minded respect for the fact of the reality that there is a God. He is the supreme being. He is God Almighty. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we need to manage our lives, conduct our activities, and function soberly, not giddy like the people of the world do, and honor and respect the ways of God and obey God. Because it's only when we're walking under that reverential fear of the Lord, which is, by the way, what true worship is. It's only when we walk under the true reverential fear of the Lord that the canopy or covering of the Lord comes upon us, that the supernatural protection of God comes upon us as individuals and as a people and as a church or as a nation. When we are obeying God and turning to God's word and turning to God's face in prayer and seeking the face of God, when we are doing those things, then we see God respond to us by allowing us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. We see then God open the doors for us to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Almighty what? Almighty God. We can either live our lives as kind of solo rangers by ourselves, or we can live our lives walking in humility with God and enjoy His protection, His provision, His supernatural covering, the blessings of Psalms 91. So that's the deep issues that we have to deal with in this momentary calm before the storm. So what is it that we do? The first thing that we do, above everything else, is we remember who is our source. Is our source ultimately this system or organization or government or whatever? I'm not saying that God doesn't use those things. He does. But ultimately, we must remember exactly what the Pilgrims and the Puritans remembered. And that was that it was God, God Almighty, who was their ultimate source. It wasn't the weather. It wasn't where they were geographically. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. It wasn't all these external things. Pilgrims and Puritans understood that it was God Almighty who was their ultimate source. So as we are in this calm before the storm, what strengthens us supernaturally by the power of His Holy Spirit is the fact that we need to make sure, and this is part of believing and acting upon the Word of God when it says, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We make sure that we're operating our lives and syncing up our lives with God first and foremost by worshiping Him and honoring Him and perceiving Him as He really is. He is our ultimate source. He is God alone. God alone ultimately is our source. And we start from there. And why do we start from there? Because it's not until you get the foundation built properly in your heart and mind that God can add upon that. That God can build upon that. You have to have the foundation in place, and the foundation is that it is God alone, the biblical God, God Almighty, who is our source. So I want you to just pause for a moment as you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report and just allow the Lord to touch you with his Spirit. Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to minister to you with his presence. And as the presence of the Lord ministers to you, the Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon you, just take a breather and let go of any anxiety. Release all fear to the Lord and open your heart, your mind, and allow, because God's not going to force you. Allow the Lord to visit you right now with his presence, his holy presence, and his Holy Spirit. Allow the Lord to minister to you. Allow the Lord to set you free. Allow the Lord to break bondages of fear, oppression, or any other thing. And that will happen to the degree that you maintain the foundation, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that you recognize that it is God alone who is your source, capital S. So just rest in the Lord for a moment. Allow him to minister to you. Allow him to break the spirit of fear from your life, from your family, anything you're involved in. Why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, sound mind. And recognize that as the Lord is releasing you, and you are being released right now supernaturally, and by that, I mean that the dark spiritual chains of oppression and lies and darkness that have been attempting to imprison you and capture you, you know what I'm talking about because you've been in an intense spiritual battle. You have been in intense spiritual warfare. And the Lord has heard your cries. The Lord has heard your prayers. And as a consequence, he's visiting with his Holy Spirit. And as he does that, he is shattering chains, spiritual chains of captivity and slavery in your life. In the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, you're being set free. Allow the Lord now to fill your inner man or your inner woman with the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Allow the Lord to fill you with his peace, because the peace that God gives us surpasses all understanding, all intellectual, all mind-type things. The peace of God surpasses all of our human understanding. And it keeps us in a place of perfect peace. Perfect peace. And the love of God, which casts out all fear. Because remember, fear can be more than just psychological thoughts. Fear can be, the source of fear can be a spirit. The Bible says that, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So it has to be resisted spiritually. And how is it ultimately resisted spiritually? When you and I embrace the truth. Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth, not you shall know a lie. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free from all kinds of stuff, like fear, spirit of fear. So allow the Lord to minister to you. And the Lord has put this on my heart as I'm doing today's edition of the Paul McGuire Report. And I want to encourage you to pass this program along far and wide. Send it to people who need to hear. hear it. You need to be ministered to and pray over it. God is releasing people. God is delivering people. God is giving people. Right now, as you're listening and I'm talking and we're being joined together in a kind of virtual koinonia. Koinonia is the biblical word for Christian fellowship, where we gather together in the name of Jesus and talk about the things of God, the Word of God in Jesus Christ. That's koinonia. So the Paul McGuire Report is facilitating a fellowship of like-minded believers. Some of you are in European nations, and many of you are in different states in the United States, and Canada, and South America, and the Middle East, and Asia, and Africa, and other nations around the world. People tune in or watch the Paul McGuire Report or watch our teachings on the Roku channel or our video channels that you can get to through paulmcguire.us, paulmcguire.us. And the Lord is ministering to many of you right now in whatever nation or city or geographic location that you're listening to me from. The Lord's ministering to you. And we are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ right now. And really, it's no small miracle that this is happening. This couldn't have happened 30 years ago. We didn't have the internet capabilities to join together like this. And so, I want to thank all of the people who spiritually partner with me, Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church. I want to thank each and every one of you for making this time of fellowship in the Lord to people all around the world, to people in different locations all across the United States. I want to thank everybody who partners with this ministry by being an intercessory prayer warrior for the ministry, for spreading the information far and wide, and by making financial contributions and donations. I want to thank you for being obedient to hearing the voice of the Lord speaks to you. And then I want to thank you for translating what the Lord has asked you to do to obedience. It's because of your obedience. It's because of your prayers, your willingness to spread these messages, willingness to contribute with your financial contribution donations. It's all of those things that we rely on to bring saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ all around the world. People are led to Christ. They're being ministered to like they are on today's program. And why are they being ministered to? Well, there's many ways ministry can occur. It can be an intellectual ministry where we're talking about current events and analyzing them in the light of God's word, Bible prophecy. But you know, sometimes the Lord shows up in the power of his Holy Spirit, like he's done on today's program. There's nothing that I can ever plan for. It's something that comes out of prayer, your prayers, my being willing to pray. And then when you host a program like this, because I've been doing radio for decades, when you host a program like this, the host, and in this case it's me, one thing I learned a long time ago is when God wants to move, that it's my job, it's the job of Paul McGuire to get out of the way so God can move. That means I have to develop a willingness and a sensitivity to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear the still small voice of God. And then I have to be willing to obey him, to do what he says, to speak the words that he wants spoken. most important thing is I have to have a willingness to get out of the way so that God can do whatever he wants to do. I learned that in radio decades ago. People couldn't understand why our radio program grew so explosively. And I would explain it, but people don't. Sometimes people have a short attention span. But they didn't understand, especially a lot of people who were radio hosts or television hosts themselves. They didn't understand this principle. Some did, but a lot didn't. And the principle was sometimes people are very gifted and talented in whatever they do. But sometimes the most important thing that we can do is get out of God's way. And so I want to be sensitive to that always. Like now, I sense the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus Christ, moving. Gently, but also with great power, I sense the Lord Jesus Christ ministering to you right now. I sense that the Lord Jesus Christ is calling by name. And I sense in my heart, it's almost like I can feel and God is allowing me to experience and feel what many people who are listening are feeling or are experiencing. Like the Lord has allowed me to tap into understanding what people are going through in a far deeper way than I could normally do by myself. And what I sense in the Holy Spirit is that there's a lot of weight on a lot of people, a lot of pressure on a lot of people for various reasons. And I sense the Lord's incredible heart of incredible personal love for you personally, you, your family, your children, your grandchildren, whoever, that the Lord has incredible love for you and he knows you by name. And I feel the prompting of the Lord to say that to you. Sometimes we need to hear somebody else say that to us. And then I sense that because the Lord has this incredible love for you, and the Lord wants you to know that he understands the trial that you've been going through, and that the Lord wants you to know that he's heard your prayers. He hasn't been indifferent to your prayers. Once again, sometimes we just need somebody besides ourselves to tell us that. And the Lord loves you, and he's heard your prayers. And so I feel led by the Lord to once again step out of God's way, so that the Lord Jesus Christ himself personally minister to you now. Power, the grace of his Holy Spirit, and minister to you with his healing presence. So, indeed, the presence of the Lord is being poured out, a very gentle, but in a way that you know it's God. The presence of the Lord is poured out upon you. And although you may be uncomfortable with my choice of words or vocabulary, the Lord wants you to know is that he's delivering. He's delivering you from oppression, heaviness of heart, depression, anxiety, exhaustion, sickness, worry, fear. The Lord is delivering you from all of those points of bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. And you don't have to wrestle to receive it. All you have to do really is kind of do what I just did. Get out of the way and allow the Lord to move to your life deeper, richer, and more pure dimension. Get out of the way Don't be offended because I said that. Get out of the way so that the Lord can get in your way and so the Lord can heal and rescue you and deliver you and help you and provide for you. Because the Lord is your rescuer. The Lord is your high tower of refuge. Praise God. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. I need you to stand with me like never before to take America back and to win souls for Jesus Christ. I ask you to pray for me, my family, and this ministry. And I ask you to simply go before the Lord Jesus Christ with childlike faith and ask Jesus, Lord, what would you have me do? How much would you have me give financially in terms of donations or contributions so that I can partner with Paul McGuire in bringing in the Great Commission and winning souls for Jesus Christ? Lord, your word says, he or she who wins souls is wise. This is Paul McGuire. Amen and amen.